Welcome to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm Graham Richmond, and this is your wiretaps for Monday, July 28th, 2025. I'm joined by Alex Brown from Cornwall, England. Alex, how are things going?
Very good. Thank you, Graham.
So, you know, I've been kind of asking for reviews, for people to rate and review the show wherever they listen. Well, we actually got one last week, I guess. And so I'm going to read it to you. The title of the review is Great Resources for Prospective MBAs. And it says, Graham and Alex have been in the business of MBA admissions for many years on both the school side and the applicant advising side. I guess that's a nice way of saying we're really old. And then it goes on to say, this is not a comment on their age. Oh, okay, there you go. That's nice. But a well-deserved compliment of their deep knowledge in this space. As someone also in this space, on the school side, I can vouch that they provide very valuable advice for aspiring MBAs in this weekly podcast. And it's a 5-star review, and I guess it's someone working in admissions, which is really great. I mean, that's not what I expected to get for a review. It's terrific.
That's absolutely fantastic. So appreciate whoever that is, and getting confirmation from the front lines, that's really good.
So you didn't call up somebody at Wharton and ask them to write this?
No.
Anybody you know in the office there, Bonnie or somebody?
I don't think Wharton takes my calls anymore for some odd reason.
All right. Yeah. Let's see. What else have we got? we continue to do these essay events. And, you know, this past week, last week, I sat down with Columbia, Georgia Tech, INSEAD, LBS, and Washington Foster. That was a lot of fun. A lot of new essay questions. And one thing that was interesting about this session is, you know, we've been asking schools about AI, and you saw this because you saw the transcript. A couple of schools in this session have a pretty kind of strict policy that requires you to at least indicate that you've used AI and how you used it. You have to explain, like, oh, I used it to proof, I used it to brainstorm, whatever. And all of them, as we've heard in other weeks, continue to say, don't have it write the essays, but have it, you know, help you brainstorm, streamline, edit, et cetera. But so that was just kind of interesting.
Yeah, no, very interesting for sure.
And I think, I want to say maybe it was LBS and Columbia, or there were a couple of schools where you literally have to say, yeah, I used it and then explain. So in any event, we have one more event in that series that's going to be this week. I'm going to sit down with representatives from Carnegie Mellon Tepper, Chicago Booth, MIT Sloan, Texas McCombs, and UVA Darden. So looking forward to that. That's the last one. I'm kind of sad because I've had a lot of fun doing these all month. And people have been writing to us to go and watch the ones they missed. And I mean, there's a lot of good advice. And it occurred to me that even if you're not applying to the schools coming in any given week, these admissions directors are giving really good advice that's kind of universal. So these have been a lot of fun.
Yeah. And they're all up on our YouTube channel. They're easily accessible. So really recommend folks tune into these as recordings if they didn't attend.
Yeah, they're all up on YouTube. We have a Clear Admit YouTube channel. One other thing, Alex, I see you are going to moderate an event with our friends over at Leland, and the event is called How to Get into M7 MBA Programs. And my understanding is you're going to sit down with a handful of Leland's coaches, and you're going to ask them questions about applying to these top schools. That's Thursday, August 7th at 10 a.m. Eastern. Do you know anything more about it? I mean, I don't know who's taking part, or I mean, sounds kind of interesting.
I mean, I've seen the profiles of the folks taking part, and I'm going to start formulating questions. I may forward those questions along ahead of time, just so they got a sense of the sort of approach that we're going to take.
Okay.
But I'm really looking forward to it. I think it'll be a really interesting conversation. I have, as you know, I have some pretty strong points of view. And if they're not aligned, we might have a very interesting conversation.
Oh, some fireworks. All right. Well, let's see what happens. I think it's going to be fun.
Yes.
I hope everyone tunes into that because I know there'll be some good advice coming out of that. I mean, look, you worked at Wharton. I think a couple of these people on this panel they're either MBA grads from these top schools or some of them have admissions experience. So I think it's going to be really interesting. Yeah. We'll get you guys a link on next week's episode of the show. We still have a little bit of time until August 7th, but we'll get a link. Otherwise, you can go on our website. I think there's a registration form and you do have to sign up. So do that. In any event, otherwise, Alex, a couple of just like small news items and, you know, some of our what's been happening on the website, and then we can talk about this week's candidates. But first off, I saw this note. We ran an article about it. INSEAD extended their deadline. So they had a, you know, round four deadline for the January intake of their MBA program. And that deadline was supposed to be August 5th, but they've pushed it back to August 26th. And there was a, you know, kind of explanation, and it sounds like what they're saying is due to some of the, you know, uncertainty in the market. And I think what they're hinting at is people maybe whose existing MBA plans have been disrupted, maybe that they've kind of extended to allow those folks to maybe juggle and come to INSEAD. And I think what they're referring to is, you know, if you didn't get in, if you didn't get your visa to go to the US to a top school or something, I'm guessing that's where this is coming from. But what do you make of that?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And quite a smart decision, I guess, on behalf of INSEAD, maybe helps fill a few open slots there, but being sort of really reactive to the current marketplace.
Yeah, totally. And then the other thing we did is we ran this article where we connected with a current student at Fuqua who, I mean, she basically sat down. There's a video on our website where this current student sits down with Professor Aaron Chatterjee, who everyone knows as Ronnie on campus. And Ronnie is a professor who's an expert in quantum computing. And I guess there's some kind of a quantum computing hub in Durham, North Carolina. And so it was basically a conversation about, you know, AI and quantum computing, and it was really fascinating. So that's up on the website. And the student, it's all through this kind of student perspective of, I mean, she basically says like she had no idea that within a few days of joining the business school, she would run into one of the coolest minds in AI. So so anyway, just really interesting piece. You can read that on the website and watch the video. We also did an admissions tip.
Do you understand quantum computing?
Do I understand quantum? not really. I mean, I did listen to a podcast about it. There's a pretty good podcast that's called, I think it's called Hard Fork on the New York Times, and it's all about tech. And they had a whole episode about quantum computing, fascinating. And I'm just kind of fascinated by how hot the machines get and how much water is required to like keep things sort of running. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's crazy.
It looks like it's just going to be a whole nother set of innovation. And yeah, I can't get my head around it. I think by the time quantum computing comes around, Graham, I will be retired.
We shall see. We also did an admissions tip on the website. You'll love this one. It's called Adcoms Are Impressed by Jargon and Fancy Language. And this, as you probably could guess, is part of our Mythbusters series. And, you know, basically comes down to, can you improve your application essays by using technical jargon and corporate language? Of course not. So we explain why and why to be really careful. And I know this has been a point that you like to make over the years, Alex. So it's a fun read.
Yeah, you want to make sure your narrative is accessible, right? So it's not going to be accessible if you use jargon.
Yeah, totally. We also connected with Shelley Heinrich, one of our favorite people in the MBA admissions world. She's the admissions dean over at SMU Cox. Actually, she oversees, I think, career services and admissions and maybe something else too. She's very senior there. Anyway, she took the time out of her day to do our admissions director Q&A. And you know, because I think a lot of our listeners don't know too much about SMU Cox, which is located in Dallas and stuff. We asked her, what's one aspect of your program that you wish applicants knew more about? And she gave a pretty impressive answer. I mean, it's, you know, there's some marketing stuff happening here, but I thought it was interesting. So here's what she says. She says, SMU Cox is on the rise. The momentum here is very energizing. With new leaders who started this June, President Jay Hartzell joining from the University of Texas at Austin and Dean Todd Milburn joining from Washington University Olin, advancement to Research One status, rankings with Bloomberg at number 26, US News number 34, that have risen consistently in recent years, and the entrance into the ACC with a record-breaking football season, SMU is on fire, says Shelley. And then she goes on to say something maybe a little bit more specific to our audience. She says, admissions and career statistics for our full-time MBA rival some of the top programs. We have a 29% acceptance rate, and our students on average receive $70,000 in scholarships. We're able to be very selective, admitting highly competitive students, and provide a very strong return on investment. Part of this ROI stems from our full-time employment rate 3 months post-graduation at 86% and our 6 months post-graduation at 95%. So those are some pretty good stats when you think about, you know, where they rank and what those kind of numbers normally you would associate with top schools. So I don't know, I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I do. And we talked about this before. I think Texas does have some momentum in terms of bringing in more big employers. So SMU Cox can take advantage of that.
Yeah, totally. Let's see. Other news before we get into the candidates is the last thing, I think, and that is that we released an extra kind of bonus podcast, as we've been doing for the last couple of weeks. This is, again, audio from the MBA Fair that we did in Boston, where we had these panels. And the panel that we released last week was one on your career goals, your essays, and the interview process at top MBA programs. So it was a session all, you know, kind of filled with admissions tips. And we had admissions directors from Berkeley Haas, Duke Fuqua, Harvard Business School, and Indiana Kelly. Really good panel, an amazing. I mean, now I'm looking at it, you know, the folks who were on that panel, just a wealth of experience. You know, Jim Holman from Indiana. We had Eric Askins from Berkeley, Allison Jameson from Duke. And oh gosh, who was it from Harvard? Katja from Harvard. So they were just a really good group and they had a lot to share. So give that a listen if you haven't already. It's in the feed here.
Is that Jim Holman's swan song? He's retired, right?
No, he's not retired yet. I heard a rumor, but I don't know if he's, I don't know if it's public yet, but I did hear through the grapevine that maybe, but he's still there for now, as far as I know.
on my Facebook feed, he is not there. He's in Alaska enjoying a trip.
Ah, he's on vacation. Yeah, this summer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd assumed he pulled the trigger, but yeah, no, perhaps he hasn't, but
I don't know.
No, very good.
He's probably on vacation.
Yeah. And these podcasts, super insightful. So really encourage folks to tune in. And they should also know that our AI bot is trained off of that type of content, right? So the transcript from that podcast helps inform the AI bot. So we haven't really talked about Ask Clear Admit for a little while, Graham, but it's certainly bears mentioning. It's getting some pretty decent traffic lately.
Yeah, I've been mentioning it in the webinars we've been doing. And you said, yeah, people are using it. And I also think, you know, I've told all of our, you know, all the schools that we work with and who contribute to our website, you know, I've told them about it. And the fact that they've used it, looked at it, and no one's come back saying, oh, this isn't accurate, et cetera, I think is a real testament to the quality of content that we've used to build the LLM, right? So yeah, it's a great resource. And you've been really great about taking everything we do, whether it's these podcasts or webinars, and getting transcripts and condensing it down into key facts and findings and putting it into the LLM. So yeah, very cool stuff.
Very good.
All right. Anything else before we move on to this week's candidates?
Let's kick on.
All right. This is Wiretap's candidate number one. Our first candidate this week is applying to just two schools, or so they claim, in their entry. They have Indian School of Business and University of Toronto, Rotman. They are looking to start in the fall. They currently work as an associate at Bain & Company, and they're going to be staying with Bain, looks like, you know, staying in the consulting space and working for Bain after business school. They have a 655 on the GMAT, which if you're still used to the old scale, that would be kind of like a 700, maybe a 710 on the test. They have a 9.1 GPA, probably was like a 91% out of 100. And I'm guessing that they maybe did that degree in India. I'm not certain of that though, but then they have 3 years of work experience so far. And you know, you had some dialogue with this person because right away you had some questions. So I'll let you kind of take us through. I think the GMAT score kind of jumped out at you, right?
Yeah, I mean, quite honestly, a 9.1, I just assumed is a really strong academic record. They're working at Bain as a consultant, so it looks like they were probably quite heavily recruited coming out of college, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm assuming that's a really strong academic record. So the 655 GMAT is not outstanding when you're targeting top programs. So India School of Business, Rotman, it might be around the average at Rotman. But my point is this candidate's best score? Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't strike me that it's truly reflective of someone that can get a 9.1, etc. So if this score was more in the 685, 695, 705 or whatever, then I would assume that's much more reflective, and it perhaps would open up more opportunities for them, and so forth. So the key point here is just make sure that the test score that you're representing is a score that best represents you after some serious preparation work. I think that's super, super important. The challenge for this candidate will be that they're going to be better off targeting the first rounds because they're probably coming from an overrepresented population. So, you know, can they retake the test in time to also present their candidacy during the first rounds? I think that's going to be their biggest challenge. I've no doubt, you know, they're being consultant, analyst, looks like they've done very well. Don't know a lot about their outside of work activities and so forth, but there's probably some good sort of raw material here. I just wish I saw a little bit of a better test score in terms of setting them up. And Graham, they asked about other options, other schools to target, and it looks like they're quite keen on Europe. So I'll leave that for you to suggest, but you know, maybe London Business School, as an example, maybe INSEAD. But there are certainly other options in Europe for them too, right?
Yeah, it was interesting because, yeah, when I saw this profile, I was like, wow, it'd be nice if they had a higher test score. But the things that jumped out at me as positive, like you said, amazing GPA, and they're working at Bain, which in of itself suggests quality. I mean, Bain is very stringent in terms of who they take into work in their office. So, you know, they seem to be successful at Bain. It sounds like they're going back to Bain. So that led me to wonder, are they sponsored? Which would be another kind of feather in their cap. Or even if they're not sponsored, do they have an offer to come back? That's a huge win for this candidate. But at the same time, I was like, wow, it'd be nice to see a higher test score. And not because applying to ISB or Rotman necessarily needs a super high score, but because I feel like there might be more windows open for this candidate, you know, because they claim they have some outside activities. We don't have a lot of details, but it seems like they have different things they do in their spare time. And so I was like, wow, if I was at Bain, you know, you could kind of go anywhere, right? If you get a high test score, you could go to Harvard. And it sounds like for some reason they're not wanting to go to the US, which fine. So we'll kind of put that to the side. But, you know, right away I was like, wow, if they want to be in Canada or Europe, sure, Rotman's a great choice for Canada, probably the best choice in Canada. But then Europe, you know, they don't have any lists, any schools on their list yet. And so, like you said, I was like, wow, what about LBS? What about INSEAD? Both are very good if you want to work in consulting. I also thought of ESA in Spain. Depending on the kind of time frame that they're looking at, if they want an accelerated program, you obviously have Oxford and Cambridge with these kind of fast-paced one-year degrees. The other beauty of having an offer to go back, you know, to Bain, is that they can take probably more risks. Like, they don't necessarily need to go to a school that, you know, can open a door to Bain. Like, so maybe, yes, Cambridge or Oxford don't send as many people to Bain or something as INSEAD does, right? But if that's the fit for them and they already have the offer, they don't necessarily need to worry about that. So yeah, I feel like there are a lot of options. And I mean, I would say, like, wow, if they had a higher test score and could put everything together, they could probably, you know, they could go to, you know, Chicago or Kellogg or Wharton or something, but for some reason they're not interested in the US. They don't express why. One last point, I do think this candidate's Indian because they have the Indian School of Business on their list and they had a 9.1 GPA, which suggests that it's from India. And so that's, you know, that's kind of shaping maybe their list of targets as well. But yeah, there's a lot of potential here, and I hope they retake the test and rethink the school list a little bit.
No, very good. Like you say, I think there is a lot of potential.
Yeah, and they could be based in Toronto is my guess. You know, maybe they're working out of a Bain office that's up there or something. But anyway, enough said, but I appreciate them sharing their profile. I'm hopeful that they'll retake the test, get a higher score, and maybe add some schools to the list like the ones we've talked about. So we shall see. Let's move on, though, and talk about Wiretap's candidate number two. So our second candidate this week that you've picked, Alex, has 8 schools on the target list, and those schools are Berkeley, Tuck, Harvard, MIT, Kellogg, Stanford, Chicago, and Wharton. This person also has been working in consulting pre-business school. They don't know what they want to do after business school, And they have a 3.32 on the GRE and a 3.69 GPA from a top 10 undergraduate program where they majored in economics. They have 4 years of work experience. They say it's a tier two consulting firm. They've been promoted twice in those 4 years. And they have a pretty interesting personal story. They're Hispanic. They immigrated from South America at a very young age and went to public school in America. And then led them to a top 10 undergrad, et cetera. They also are former leader of a mock trial team, created a fitness club in their local office, do a lot of office volunteer work and recruiting for the firm. And that's kind of the profile. What do you make of this candidate?
Yeah, I think this is a really strong candidate for top programs, and they are targeting top programs, which I do believe is correct for them. You know, the 3.32 GRE, 3.69 GPA, super smart. I mean, and their sort of lived experience is going to be quite interesting, being a first generation immigrant, et cetera. It looks like they get involved, they're a leader at work, and so on and so forth. So assume they can show lots of impact and growth at work. So everything points really strongly for this candidate, Graham, except the one big missing link. And that's their goals. And what is their goal focus? Why are they getting the MBA, et cetera, et cetera? And I really do think some really deep thought in that regard will absolutely elevate their profile to the level of the sort of target programs that they're targeting. So what is their short-term goal? And what do they really see themselves doing in the long term that's both realistic, impactful, ambitious, and focused. So that's really where this candidate might unravel if they don't get that side of their story really well developed.
I could not agree more. I kind of wondered, I mean, one exercise for them would be to think about, you know, even if they wanted to sort of continue in consulting, what is it that they've liked about the consulting work they've done? What kind of firms have they assisted? Is there an industry niche that they've kind of fallen into, you know, in terms of the type of consulting they've been providing? Do they want to upgrade? They mentioned specifically they're working at a tier two consulting firm. So are they looking to go to a McKinsey instead, get into the sort of top tier of consulting firms? So this shouldn't be hard. And I would also encourage them to realize that, you know, look, admissions officers say all the time, you need to come up with a plan, but they're not going to hold you to that plan when you're walking across the stage at graduation. Like if you end up going to work for Google instead of McKinsey, they don't take away your diploma. But it is important to think through what you want to do. And they really need to do that because this could, like you say, it could really derail their candidacy if they have, you know, kind of fuzzy goals. And that's coming from someone who, I mean, I was rejected at all the schools I applied to for a number of reasons, but one of which was that I had what the admissions director at the time called fuzzy career goals because they just weren't defined at all. So yeah, so they need to figure this out.
But if they do get it figured out, super strong.
Yeah, totally. And I think that they, you know, as I said, it shouldn't be hard to figure it out. You know, just, yeah, put some time into it. And obviously, I mentioned to think about what kind of work they've done at the consulting firm, because sometimes it can be nice if the goals somehow mesh with the past experiences. There's some sort of thread. So they just need to keep that in mind. But again, great candidacy. I have no problem with the school selection as long as they iron out their goals.
Pretty good.
All right, let's move on and talk about Wiretap's candidate number three. So our final candidate for this week is applying to just three schools, at least for now, that's what they have on the list. And those schools are Harvard, Stanford, and Wharton. We sometimes refer to that as the trilogy in the kind of admissions world. They're looking to start in the fall of 26. They've been working as a technology consultant for 5 years now. They're thinking about consulting or a pure tech job after business school. And so they cite companies like Bain, BCG, and McKinsey alongside Apple and Google. They have a 655 on the GMAT. And if you were listening earlier in the episode, you know that that's roughly a 700, maybe 710 on the old scale. 3.67 GPA. They are located in Canada and they're looking to pivot into the US market. But they did share that they're originally from India. They moved to Canada for higher education, so presumably for that undergraduate degree. And that they've been working with a well-reputed tech consulting company for over 4 years. They've been promoted a couple of times, high visibility projects, multi-million dollars in revenue. And they said that in terms of extracurriculars, they do some volunteering with the recruitment wing of the company to sponsor case competitions and hackathons. And that in undergrad, they had multiple roles. They worked as a peer mentor, academic integrity ambassador. They're also vice president of the coding club and a few other things. So post-MBA, they're thinking of joining a big tech company or potentially a startup as a product manager, which is a common kind of post-MBA role. What do you make of this candidacy?
I'd like to know a little bit more about what they do outside of work, what sort of hobbies and interests, etc., to sort of help round out their what looks like quite a good but geeky profile. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but you know, it'd be great if we learned that they maybe did some athletics or sports or you know, music or whatever it might be. So it'd be quite interesting to get some more insight there. Again, they've got to retake this GMAT. They've got a plan to retake the GMAT. Just, again, make it more representative of their sort of academic prowess. So really prep hard, get their best score. But again, they've got to try to do that in time for the first round because, you know, they're obviously very tech-focused, India origin, etc. So they're going to be somewhat overrepresented in the applicant pool.
Right.
So round one's going to be important, right? And so forth. So they've got to juggle getting the best test score in time for round one. And I think that they're going to have to explore some other programs, maybe one or two top 16, one or two other M7, and get those applications in round one, right? So really start broadening their list of targets. I mean, if you're only applying to Harvard, Stanford, Wharton, that is a real big reach for even the best candidates. So I would really caution them and advise them better test score, round one, as well as a couple of other programs to complement the trilogy. I'm not saying that they don't have access to the trilogy. I just think it's risky that they're putting all their eggs into this one sort of approach.
Yeah, and you gave the critical information, which is that they do plan to retake the test. I think they mentioned it in a couple of weeks, right? So that's important because I think a better test score is going to be almost a requirement given that they, as you point out, kind of an overrepresented profile. And yeah, a little, you know, kind of more, you know, that they're kind of doing tech consulting. They were VP of the coding club. They sponsor or help get involved with hackathons. So there's this theme that's very consistent, but also doesn't help, like you say, present a kind of Renaissance person type image. You know, it's a very siloed image of this candidate. And so ideally they have some other stuff and, you know, whether it's that they're really into ballet or that they, you know, are a runner or something that can add color and sort of some diversity of activity to what they bring to an MBA community. And yeah, I mean, look, someone could have a 755 on the GMAT, which would be off the charts, right? And I would still say, wow, you're only applying to Harvard, Stanford, and Wharton. I mean, that is always a high-risk venture. If you're just looking at the trilogy, you risk striking out. I mean, it's just the fact of it is that that's always how it works. And I would never recommend anybody only apply to those three schools. So yeah, I recommend they cast a slightly wider net and work on the test and yeah, and shed light on any activities that are not related to kind of tech or, you know, kind of like you said, geeky stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, they're targeting product management, which makes a lot of sense based on their profile.
Oh yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
So what one or two other schools would you suggest they target in the M7 and in the top 16?
I mean, I would think Kellogg would be one to consider. And boy, Berkeley could be an interesting one if they're really looking at, you know, tech jobs. Those are both, you know, well, one M7, one top 16. I guess, I mean, you could also throw into the mix an MIT as well. But yeah, there, I mean, there are a number of schools that are good at this. So it's not, yeah, there's no shortage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would have added Ross and Sloan on top of the two that you suggested, Kellogg and Haas.
Yeah.
But yeah, and any of the top 16 programs, quite frankly, but Certainly those four might stand out for this type of profile.
Yeah. I mean, we'd need to know a little more about what, you know, what are they looking for? And, you know, they say they want to land in the US. Maybe they have some preferences even geographically, because, you know, if they don't want to be in California, then yeah, maybe we don't tell them Haas, we tell them Ross or Duke or something. You know, there are many options, right? So they need to figure that out. But yeah, I mean, could be a strong candidate. I just worry that right now, when I look at what I have here on paper, I'm not seeing Harvard, Stanford, Wharton necessarily. I think, they need to get a better test score and work on their school selection and highlighting those other activities if possible.
Very good.
Well, thanks, Alex, for doing this. As you know, I'm going to be on the road quite a bit for the rest of the summer. And so I'll be recording from strange places probably, but we'll continue to bring you episodes every week. Alex, so yeah, let's keep those ApplyWire entries coming in. I've been asking people to submit them when we have these webinars, and you can keep picking out these interesting cases to discuss.
Very good. Take care, everyone. Stay safe.